It's bonus time, everybody. That's right. We're doing a bonus show, Sex Magic Part 2, all the way to the bottom of the rabbit hole. Today we're going to do it, and this is only for the supporters. As my way of showing thanks to you, I give you a bonus episode every month on top of all the great benefits you get. The ad-free feed, 100-plus bonus episodes. Maybe you got the 2 free books, depending on which platform you went with. But in part one, we went into the foundational belief that occult practices are based upon sex magic. We talked about the ancient symbolism of alchemy with the sun and the moon, the locked-in polarities, the opposing polarities, how they were believed to be the creation story. We talked about how occultists like Aleister Crowley and Jack Parsons used sex magic to pursue their own will, as every magician does. And of course, Jack Parsons' will was to manifest the Whore of Babylon and bring about the end of the world and the Antichrist. No big deal, right? Part two, we're going darker. We're going deeper. We're going to touch the bottom of that rabbit hole. We're going to talk about the Ordo Templi Orientis, a magical order that we've talked about many times, but we're going to hear how it was infused with sex magic. We're going to talk about Stanley Kubrick, the guy that filmed Eyes Wide Shut, with the infamous Gnostic orgy scene. Well, if you recall, because we did, 6-7 episodes on the Eyes Wide Shut deep dives, we read the making of Eyes Wide Shut, and in that, they talked about how Kubrick bought this book and underlined some passages that informed him on how to create this orgy scene. Well, I bought that book. It was $100, and it was worth it. It was worth every penny of it because I wanted to see what he was reading. And lo and behold, I was shocked. Absolutely shocked. My goodness. We're going to talk about it, though. We're talking about adrenochrome, vampirism, energy absorption, all that crazy stuff. So without further ado, let's just get into it, right? We got a lot of material to cover. But first, thank you for being a supporter. If you're listening to this on the bonus feed, that means you're a supporter. And I appreciate you supporting the show. You're what keeps this thing going. You know, I've had every door shut in my face in this history of researching these topics. You've heard me cry about it many times. And it happens all the time. And without you supporting the show, guess what I'd be doing? Not talking to you. I'd be just going to the dreaded day job, listening to podcasts and reading my own research. But I appreciate you. You're literally what keeps it going. So thank you very much for your support. It means more to me than anything because this is a passion of mine. So for you to support me in my own passion and I get to share my research with you, that means the world to me. We're building connections, making the world a better place. We're trying to approach these topics and these conspiracies from a rational point of view. And I hate to say it, folks, that's not what everybody does out there. Some people are pushing fear and unfounded, unresearched ideas. So I appreciate that real recognize real. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Okay, thank you again for your support. Now, sex magic. The OTO. Do you know what the OTO is? It's the Ordo Templi Ordo Templi Orientis, or the Oriental Templars. And you say, wow, that sounds very similar to the Knights Templar. Yeah, because it is. Because they're all connected. This was a magical order founded in the late 1800s by these two guys, Theodore Roos and Karl Kellner. And they used ideas of the Freemasonry that they were familiar with to create this magical order of initiatory, meaning multiple degrees of initiation and progression. Eventually, Aleister Crowley in the early 1900s became a member and basically took charge. And he said, you know what we're going to do with this OTO? We're going to infuse my religion into this, Thelema. The Thelema religion, of course, similar to Joseph Smith and the Mormons, Thelema was when he made contact with this entity called AWAS, his holy guardian angel, And AWOS dictated to him, and he wrote it down in the Book of the Law, very similar to the Book of Mormon. Similar parallels here, right? Well, his religion from that would be called Thelema, and he infused Thelema and sex magic into the OTO. And who was Roos and Kellner to stop Aleister Crowley? He was the big dog, right? Now, Theodore Roos, he believed, rightfully so, that in all of Western esotericism, sex magic was at the core of every practice within, and we're talking about Western occultism, we're talking about alchemy, ritual magic, and so on. He talked about how sex was embedded in the iconography and artwork of the Rosicrucians and the artwork of alchemy, which he's right. You know, if you listen to part one, we talked about it a little bit. And fun fact, he was actually trying to revive the Bavarian Illuminati in the late 1800s because officially it had disbanded. And he was like, I'm gonna revive it. I'm down for that action. But they ended up going with the OTO with Karl Kellner. So in a way, the OTO is the Illuminati, in a way, kind of. Because it must have not been too far off from what he believed and he wanted to teach people for him to switch gears like that. So Karl Kellner, he co-founded the OTO, and he was like, this is going to be all about sex magic. Because he was researching Helena Blavatsky's Theosophy, which is seen in Wizard of Oz, right? Wizard of Oz is all about Theosophy. And he was researching Rosicrucianism. He was traveling around Europe with this other initiatory Western occult group called the Hermetic Brotherhood of Light, which is where he met a guy named Pascal Beverly Randolph. We're talking in the 1800s here. Now, you remember that name because Pascal Beverly Randolph was the guy we were talking about that the character Doctor Strange was based upon when you listen to my two Doctor Strange episodes already. Pascal Beverly Randolph was infamously the guy who was teaching sex magic in America. He was the first one known to be teaching these ideas. He was also teaching how to achieve altered states through, not just through sex, but through ingesting drugs, hallucinogens. Now, maybe that sounds very familiar to you. Maybe that sounds a lot like Charles Manson. I think it does. But yeah, Kellner and Randolph, they were part of this group, the Hermetic Brotherhood of Light, aka the Hermetic Brotherhood of Luxor. And they both sort of learned these ideas. Because the Hermetic Brotherhood of Light would basically seed the ideas of the OTO. Well, Theodore Roos let Crowley into the OTO in 1910. And when Crowley took it over, there were 7 degrees of initiation. And Crowley was like, F that, we're adding some crazy degrees to this thing. So he boosted it up to 10 levels of initiation. The 8th degree would be the perfect pontiff of the Illuminati. There again, proving the Illuminati OTO connection. Oh, and anyway, sorry, my brain is thinking about celebrities with the OTO, like Peaches Geldof. And remember, Ciara was wearing the clothing, which said the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. Anyway, completely irrelevant. Sorry about that. Then he added the 9th degree, the initiate of the sanctuary of the Gnosis, which included, the 8th degree, the perfect pontiff of the Illuminati, required the initiate to perform a masturbation ritual. The 9th degree, the initiate performed a sex ritual. Then the 10th degree, that's the administrative degree, which get skipped. Don't ask me. I don't know. When I was on Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli, he asked me about the 10th degree. And I was like, look, I don't really get it. It's an administrative degree is all I know. I'm not in the group. Crowley added an 11th degree. He skipped it. He went from 9th to 11th, which is how the great Freeman Fly predicted the 9/11 attacks, if you remember. Crowley added the 11th degree, which was about anal sex, hetero or homo. And all of this was kind of okay with Kellner and Roos because the OTO is based on sex magic, and that sex magic came from the ideas of Tantra. And we already talked about how Tantra is all about extending one's life through magical sex positions. In fact, there was an interesting anecdote. Crowley would, when he was having an orgasm, one example of sex magic and how a practitioner would use this, upon orgasm, he wanted to manifest money into his life. You know, he died infamously poor, but he wanted to manifest money. And when he would orgasm, he would envision gold pouring down his head, which is pretty wild, right? And the Gnostic mass that Crowley would use in the OTO included more sex magic ideas and opposing polarities. You had the male priest and the female priestess. They would perform a ritual where they would take a dagger, an athame, and insert it into a chalice, a cup of wine. And this was supposed to represent the penis going into the vagina. So you can see there's elements fused into all of this. Now, Royce, he died in 1928. And Crowley was just like, look, I'm going to run it now. I'm now the new outer head of the order. And Royce and Kellner, strangely enough, they were actually pretty conservative. And they were cool with the sex magic, obviously. That's how they baked it into the OTO. But they only wanted the sex magic to occur between married couples. Whereas Crowley, he was about all the action. He wanted all the smoke. He was like, dude, we're doing, you don't have to be married. You can be homosexual. You can be into animals. Like, he didn't care. He's about all of it. Because he was always like, well, the ends justify the means. In fact, Kenneth Grant, an acolyte of Crowley, he said that, He was in the similar vein of Crowley. He said that the story of Isis, Osiris, Set, and Horus was all about Set being a homosexual god who was trying to sodomize Horus. And that's what, when they talk about the Eye of Horus, it's actually a reference to the anus of Horus. And when they talk about Set, which is referred to as Satan sometimes, the other, the adversary, the power of Set is the most primal form. Unrestrained, Kenneth Grant asserts, it results in rape, pedophilia, and other depravities. If restrained, however, it can be a source of protection and occult power. So you can see why they would want to dabble with this dark stuff, because if you do it right, apparently it's got a lot of power. And it offers access to the dimensions on the dark side of the Tree of Life. So partially, that's what the anal sex is all about for the initiates of the OTO. Now, okay, so we talked about Crowley and all of his explicit levels of degrees he added to the OTO. But they would also employ Crowley's ideas of creating magical elixirs of male and female fluids. And again, Crowley got this idea from Pascal Beverly Randolph, so he didn't really originate some of these things. Because Randolph was a Rosicrucian, and he thought that sex produced psychic secretions that you could formulate what would you call that? A recipe? I don't know. A recipe. And maybe when you go look up the recipe, there's a long story about how, you know, I got the recipe from Crowley, who got it from Randolph. You know, you ever look up those recipes on the web pages? Can never get to the ingredients. But he said that you could make a recipe out of these secretions and you could use it as psychic energy in motion. And the practitioner could direct this flow of energy to gain their, you know, physical, mental, spiritual benefits. So for instance, in the ninth degree of the OTO, which is about sex, vaginal sex, the practitioners would make this recipe, this elixir, and they would anoint it on talisman to imbue the energy from the sexual fluids onto the talisman. And they got all of this from Tantra. In Tantra, they called the secretions kalas, K-A-L-A-S. And in Tantra, they use the bodily centers of Shakti yoga. Shakti, of course, being the goddess of Tantra. Because remember, in part one, we talked about how you had Shiva, the male god, and Shakti, the female goddess, and they were locked in sexual union, and that's what the universe was all about. That was the yin and yang. Well, these bodily centers, aka chakras or padmas or lotuses, just think of it as chakras. That's the easy way of remembering this. The in Tantra, they use those chakras. The lotus is referred to as the female yoni, the female vagina. And Kenneth Grant would describe this as the flower of the female, right? Flower. But think about it like two different words. It's the flower, F-L-O-W-E-R. The kalas would flow from the vagina. That was the idea. They were mystical essences, or they would call them stars or kalas. And they would collect them for magical purposes, you know, like consecrating the talismans or making the elixirs with the male secretions. But Kenneth Grant believed that the kalas were originally sourced from the endocrine glands, where your hormones are released, right? So it was kind of a more pure version of a hormone is what they thought, which is kind of weird, right? But there's 16 different female kalas. Of course, we've got urine, menstrual blood, and bindu, which is a mystery fluid. And they're all very mysterious, right? But there was a sexologist named Havelock Ellis who wrote a book called Studies in the Psychology of Sex. And Havelock confirmed 14 of these fluids actually exist. Don't ask me how you get 14. I'm not creative enough to make 14. Anyway, boy. These kalas are thought to slow down the aging process, because you remember the ideas of Tantra are that it extends life. So you can see how some of these old elites would be interested in pursuing some of these occult systems, because that's the thing they want, eternal life or to become younger. And it also makes me think of how if you go down the rabbit hole of health and nutrition and the products we use on a daily basis, you know, deodorants, shampoos, and all that crap, you'll find that all of them have what they call endocrine disruptors, disrupting your hormonal system. So when Alex Jones was talking about how they're turning the freaking frogs gay, like, yeah, that's kind of true, right? A lot of the poisons that corporate America, and I'm sure it's not just in America, but a lot of the corporations make these crazy chemicals, and it goes into the natural systems, or you directly put it on your armpit or whatever, and it throws off your hormonal balance in your body, and it can make you go loopy, make you go crazy, increase your estrogen, whatever. Knock down your testosterone. All these things happen. Which also makes me think, when people get all wrapped up around the idea of how much they dislike homosexuality and not unconventional sex preferences and gender identities, right? People get all wrapped up around that. And I do not. Here's one way you can join me in my acceptance of people of all kinds of colors of the flag, if as it were. Even if you want to believe look, God made a male and female. You know, Isaac, you're talking about male and female polarities and how this is how God created the world. God didn't make a place for these things. Even if you want to believe that, you could wrap your mind around the idea that maybe, right? But maybe when women are pregnant and they're using some kind of weird chemical cleaner or deodorant or hairspray or hair product, maybe that's throwing off some kind of hormonal balance. Maybe that's the mixing the signals that go into the fetus. And now the person is born and it's an unconventional identity they may have, right? So like, I think it's kind of one way of looking at it that I think everyone can get behind. Because I get it, right? A lot of people are against those kinds of lifestyles because like, look, that's not the way God intended. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows the mind of God? We don't know. But I just say, have a little compassion. You know, if you want to believe that, go for it, man. Like, I'm all for it. But maybe, like Alex Jones ranted and raved about, maybe they're turning the freaking frogs gay. And it's not their fault. So have sympathy, right? Why are we talking about the tantra? Oh, boy, we get on the... Okay, tantra. Okay, we're talking about extending life, right? That's why they're into all this weird stuff. Turns out there was a Roman cult similar to the tantrics, and they were called the Cult of Ayana, or the Temple of Ayana. And what they used to do was they would give their daughters over to become trained priestesses in this cult. And when they became trained priestesses, they would provide their kalas over to the, you know, the cult in order for them to make the recipes, the elixirs to extend life. And when the Christian faith came around, they persecuted these cults in Rome and forced them underground. But you know what? They didn't go away. And they were kind of like the tantric cults, practicing these, you know, supposed morally degenerate sex acts. Some of them were, though. Some of it was like incest. Some kind of indiscriminate sex and what they call other forms of sexual rights that they didn't specify in the book I read on this. And this came from a book called Cult and the Occult, all right? That's that book with the Stanley Kubrick reference. Well, there's these two investigators, James McNally and Justin C. Tanner, and they confirmed, they found members of this cult surviving to this day. And it says they meet rarely. They have three temples, one in America, one in Denmark, and one in Britain. So, I don't know, look it up. See if you can go attend and let me know what you find. But this guy, Arnold Weech, was led into the group, and he wrote about them and confirmed that they did, in fact, slow down the aging process. They would shave 20 to 40 years off of someone's age by consuming and practicing these kalas and all this stuff, which makes me think of when you look at these actors. Some of these actors look so good still. Paul Rudd, Johnny Depp, Jared Leto, who else? Charlize Theron. Some of these people are like fairly old and they look great. Maybe they're doing that. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. But the cult, they've got these old folks, the elders, and they basically do whatever they want. And you know what they're going to do. They're going to take your wife. So you've been warned. If you end up checking out one of these cults, you know what every cult does. They take your wife. Anyway, but the reason they do that, they're like, look, I have to destroy the ego. And what better way to destroy your ego than to, you know, strip your old lady while you watch? It's all part of destroying the ego, which is good to these folks. And some say that these ideas of tantra and like cults like this come from the Chinese. The Chinese, they had this ancient philosophy of Taoism, and it was all about blending these fundamental energies, the yin, the feminine, and the yang, the masculine. In fact, I grew up with a few Chinese guys that I was friends with, and their last name was Yang. I don't know if that's, maybe a, a, a masculine attribute? I don't know. I don't know much on Chinese culture. I do know that the one guy, he was one of the most incredible artists ever. He would draw this insane, like, robots and stuff, like, amazing artists. Then the other guy, I'm not going to say their names, but the other guy, he used to be really good at Nintendo. This is the 80s, right? 8-bit Nintendo. And he used to record himself on a VCR playing, like, just whooping these levels. And I think, man, he was 40 years ahead of his time. If he could have just been recording that on YouTube, he'd be killing it, or Twitch or whatever. Way ahead of his time. But that's how it was in the 80s, you know? Life sucked in the 80s. You couldn't share your talents with anyone except for some cracker-ass cracker like me on the bus. Anyway, why am I talking about the Yang? Anyway, okay, so, yeah, Taoism, right? So they would work with these fundamental energies of yin and yang to prolong life, practicing, again, sex alchemy. And the primitive sexual energy was called the prime substance. This is in alchemy called the prima materia. And they believed also that the body was a laboratory. It was a cauldron and a furnace that would process this energy. And some people call this energy chi. If you read my book, The Star Wars Conspiracy, you already know where we're going with that, right? It was a moving vitality. And the meditation, the breathing, the sex, it would cook the furnaces and move energies in the body. That was the idea. And that's why the Chinese sex alchemy was very similar to the Tantra from India. It's similar in the idea of using energy work in the body to fuel up and heat up and create sexual energy in these chambers and furnaces and chakras. And like we talked about on Tinfoil Hat, the lowest chakra is where the Kundalini serpent resides, the Shakti force. And as you practice these movements and cook up the furnaces, Kundalini awakens and coils up the spine, up the chakra systems, and bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, all the way up to the chakra in the head, where it has the sacred marriage to Shiva, the male force, the male god. And then you have the sacred marriage, and boom, Kundalini light flying out your brain, or at least so they say. Never done it myself. But yeah, that's why they do all the yoga, the breathing, the meditation. In fact, if you look at, I think I got it in my notes here. Yeah, there's a branch of Gnosticism called the Saturn Gnostics. This is in Lords of the Left-Hand Path, the book. And they were in the Germany, early 1900s. Nazis suppressed them, and then they came back out. It was revived after the Nazis by Gregor A. Gregorius, Master Saturnus. Be a great wrestling name, I think. But the Saturn Gnostics, they were practicing sex magic, and they would coordinate it with the alignment of the stars to emulate the sexual positions. So that's just one example of how something like this could be used. Well, the European alchemists, which is what you think of when you think of alchemy, they actually did not utilize sex into the process because it was kind of a Puritanist kind of realm, right? It wasn't until the texts of the Chinese and the Indian with the Taoist and the Tantric practices, it wasn't until they were translated in the 19th century that sex was joined into these alchemical ideas. Which, of course, you know, 19th century, we're talking 1800s. We're talking OTO, we're talking Golden Dawn. And that's when Crowley and Kellner and Roos, they connected all these dots. They're like, bingo, that's it. Let's take what all these crazy Middle Age alchemists were doing and let's add in ancient practices of sex magic. And this, I would argue, informed a lot of the psychoanalysis with, like, Sigmund Freud, right? Freud's always talking about the phallus and all this stuff, Carl Jung, because they thought sex was at the heart of all human actions. And this is based upon ancient texts. Now, let's get into the interesting part here. This is what you came for. Vampires, yep, this is it. This is the bottom of the rabbit hole, I think. These occultists, They believe that sex energy, which we've talked about ad nauseum now, right? Proving that there's some kind of energetic field in sex. The chi, the chambers, the kundalini, all this stuff. They thought, well, you know what? This sex energy, you know what would be cool? When I'm old, if I could harness some of that sex energy. Because I'm old and I'm tired. Maybe I can't get it up. So what they do is they pull that energy from the young people. Because the young people are full of it, full of vitality, right? Well, it's a practice called shunamitism. And King David in the Bible practiced it. Yes, that's right. King David himself. And the Old Testament refers to Abishag. Well, that's kind of interesting. Shag is in the word Abishag. I wonder if that's where the Brits and Austin Powers get the term shag. But the Old Testament refers to Abishag, who was a young virgin sent to minister to King David. And she was from a realm called Shunah. A city, I don't know. I call it a realm. Sounds like Lord of the Rings. But she was from Shunah. That's where the name shunamitism gets its name, right? So Abishag, she goes to sleep with King David so that he could get some of her energy, some of her young sex energy. And of course, they did not have sex, because if you had sex, you now grounded the energy. You know how Sting's always, I don't know if you always, you know how they say Sting does tantric sex? And it's like you have sex for a really long time and you don't ever orgasm. That's the idea. You don't want to ground that energy, apparently. And this was a technique that was allegedly used ever since then, including in Greece, a guy named Claudius Hermippus, who was 70 and losing his physical and mental powers. So what does he do? He sleeps with the young virgin to absorb their sexual energy. Not sexy time. No sexy time, just sleepy time. Just sleepy time. And he lived to be 115. That's a pretty good run. And if you go to his tombstone, it says it was due to, quote, emanations of young maidens. So this didn't go anywhere. This has been a sort of underground belief, because as you could imagine, it's a little shady. Is this what Epstein and company were really doing in some weird way? And people like us, the normies, right? We look at this stuff. I say normies, but there's levels of normie. We're the woke normies. We see this stuff and we think, oh, they're messing around with the young girls. What's wrong with these guys? Why do they do this? Just mess around with a woman that's legal. That's not what it's about, maybe, right? I'm blowing some big allegations here, but maybe that's not what it's about. Maybe it's about absorbing their energy to become youthful. That's why these old guys are doing this stuff. But the Middle Age Europeans, they were practicing shunamitism, sometimes a little bit of the homosexual variety as well. Now, let's talk about Stanley Kubrick. This is the passage that he underlined in the book Cult and the Occult, as per the Eyes Wide Shut making of book that we already covered on one of the many deep dives on Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut. Quote, thus the Emperor Barbarossa held young boys against his stomach and genitals in order to savor and absorb their energy. Pope Innocent VIII, the immediate predecessor of the Borgia Pope, Alexander VI, employed healthy young children to stroke him and thus transfer their energy to him. Now, ain't that something? Ain't that something? Think about what this is saying. They're not opposed to using young boys or girls. It doesn't really matter. They're absorbing their energy. And they immediately place them. I mean, this Emperor Barbarossa put them against his genitals. Very inappropriate. Now, when I was on Tinfoil Hat, as you probably heard, I was talking about this. And XG, he goes, hey, man, that's like Michael Jackson. I thought, oh my God, of course that's like Michael Jackson. Remember, he would sleep with the kids. He's like, he swore up and down, I don't have sex with them. Maybe that's why he's sleeping with those little boys. you know, sleepy time. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't have sexy time. Maybe he was having sleepy time. Very interesting idea. Now, this Roman emperor, Frederick Barbarossa, I looked up this guy because I was like, who is this guy? I don't really know anything about it, you know? I didn't pay attention much in high school. But allegedly, he never died, it turns out. They say he's only sleeping, which is, of course, is bullcrap, right? Now, in that book, it talks about how Barbarossa was conquering Italy, and he allegedly died by drowning immediately after dropping the Holy Lance. He had the tip of the Holy Spear that crucified Christ. Remember how they crucified Christ on the cross, and this Roman guard put his spear, the Holy Lance, into the side of Jesus to see if he was dead. Well, this relic is a very controversial relic. Allegedly, Barbarossa had this thing in his possession, and he was crossing this river, and it fell out of his pocket, and he, boom, immediately died and drowned in Sicily back in the 1100s. That's what it said in this book, not in the a section called Nazis and the Occult, later on in the book, in a different chapter. Because it talks about how Hitler was in possession of the Holy Lance as well. Now, I went to the Wikipedia about Barbarossa, and it doesn't even mention it. One of the most interesting elements you could think of. And of course, they definitely don't talk about the holding the boys against his genitals stuff. But this just goes to show the truth being censored on the internet. You think Google and Wikipedia is showing you everything? No, they're showing you what they want to show you. You have to go to the books, the physical book, as the repository of information. You know, this was $100 over in the UK. If you looked for this book now, it's going to cost you $300-$400. Sam Tripoli looked it up. He's like, dude, that's like $400. But you can see how knowledge is power, right? Did we crack the code of what they're doing with all these kids? I don't know. Let me keep reading here. Charlemagne, he was the first emperor of Rome. He also had the Holy Lance, and he also allegedly died when he dropped it. Again, not on Wikipedia. I looked it up. Hitler, he had the lance, and he had it buried. It's called the Habsburg treasure. And America recovered it on the same day that he killed himself, April 30th, 1945, on Beltane. So there's all these rumors about the Holy Lance. Nobody knows what's real or not. But anyway, that's a sidetrack. The point being, Kubrick underlined this passage. Now, in the movie Eyes Wide Shut, in the orgy scene, there's no kids anywhere to be found. Not even a part of that. Barely a part of that whole element. But if you watched my video Kubrick's Code, or you bought my book Kubrick's Code, or, well, you're a supporter, if you're on Patreon or VIP, you should have got a copy of the PDF book for free for signing up. You'll recall how the storyline, plot spoiler coming, I argued was all about grooming little kids. Grooming Dr. Bill Harford and Alice, you know, Tom and Nicole Kidman, their daughter in the film gets basically taken away by this group, by this Illuminati group at the end of the movie in the toy store. She takes off with these two old guys that were at the beginning of the Ziegler house party. That was kind of the crux of my whole argument about this movie, about these Illuminati groups and how they do weird ritual magic stuff. And then they take the kid at the end. And now you see Kubrick underlining that passage, and it all makes sense. They're going to take the little girl to, unfortunately, take part of this vampiric energy shunamatism ritual. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And to make things weirder, if you recall during the making of Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick originally wanted Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger to be in the movie. Ended up going with Tom Cruise. Good choice, Stanley Kubrick. But Alec Baldwin, infamously on the flight logs for the Epstein Lolita Island Express plane down to the island. What the hell is going on there? Let's wrap it up here. We're going to wrap it up. A couple more points on this vampire talk. The middle-aged physicians, they thought that life energy was concentrated in the blood of the young also. So they actually used to condone vampirism by old people. They would drink fresh blood drawn from the youth. That's how crazy things were back then. And in the 1800s, there was this Madame Janus of Paris, and she would charge wealthy old people to come to her, brothel. Old guys would come to the brothel and sleep in beds with a young virgin. Sleepy time, no sexy time. In fact, she would take large deposits from these wealthy old guys in case they made sleepy time turn into sexy time, because now she can't use these. They're not virgins anymore. Messing up her business. And the same thing happened in London at the Temple of Aurora. Same idea. Even the Nazis, Heinrich Himmler, he tried to save or rehabilitate some of their injured pilots by having them sleep next to virgins. And they would also practice and research this on concentration camp victims. They would put them in freezing water until they became unconscious and then put them in bed with female virgin girls. Crazy stuff. Aleister Crowley, he had a sex magic ritual called the Erotocomatose Lucidity, where one would have sex to the point of exhaustion, no orgasm, and they would make communion with God. And sometimes it would result in spiritual vampirism. And the aides performing the sex acts on the practitioner would do so until the practitioner was on the brink of death. And then the aide would get the energy. Very vampiric, if you ask me. And then finally, one more example. Psychic vampires. There's an idea that there's a psychic chakra that controls the libido. It's called the Muladhara chakra. And you won't believe where it is. It's in the secret button, in the taint, between the anus and the genitals. And the magician, they think they could match another person's breathing, like sync their breathing, and squeeze that taint chakra to align their psychic energies and create this astral link. We talked about the astral light before on part one. And it's called symptomata. And it's similar to the vampire idea because the vampire gets drawn into this, you know, black magic practice. And the psychic vampires, they drain the psychosexual energy from the victim, from the chi, right? They can do this in the same room, or they can astral project, or they can do ghost visitation. Sounds crazy, right? But there's myths that the vampires can do this to the point of killing a victim and acquiring their soul as a familiar spirit. So there you go. That's the bottom of the rabbit hole. I feel like Kubrick was pretty well versed in some of these ideas. I think he was trying to covertly put this in a film for future truthers like us to investigate and to find the truth. And they left just enough breadcrumbs that I think we did. I think this answers the question as to why they're always messing with the kids. And in some ways, in some weird ways, maybe it's just a touch better than, you know, the other kind of abuse. Maybe. I think they're both bad, though. They're still using their energy. But I hope, I pray that they're doing sleepy time and not sexy time. Either way, not good. They're vampiring their energy, and it's not two consenting adults. So it's still bad. Still bad, obviously. But it does make you wonder, right? Like, when you talk about the OTO and how they use sex magic, does that mean they're in? Do they condone this sort of thing and mess around with the kids? I don't know. I'm not in the inner circles. Officially or not, but if this is a belief that's been around for hundreds of years and practiced, you know, we talked about it. This goes way back. And it's something that we don't really hear about anymore. And I would argue it's because it went underground. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. That was the very deep dive into sex magic. And wow, I was blown away when I read that in that book, Cult and the Occult. Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed that. That's the bonus episode for the month. I appreciate your support. Thank you for your support on whatever supporter feed you're on. It's much appreciated. Thank you for listening to my show and listening to my rants. Sometimes I get off topic a little bit. I try to keep it focused, right? We try to hit all killer, no filler on this show. So thank you for listening to the show. Until next time, stay woke.